with what he started on a wedding day. He is still building a marriage. And so when you unwrap what's there, I want it to speak of the sweetness that should be between you two, all right? So at this time, we're going to do a renewal covenant with each other, all right? So that means you're going to have to turn and face your wife, as awkward as it might feel in church, look her in the eyes, and then I'm going to have you repeat this after me to her. Today, you're going to do it. I recommit myself before God. I recommit myself before God to you and our marriage. I promise to always see the best in you. And I will strive to become. The best spouse I can possibly be. And when I make mistakes, I will humbly seek your forgiveness. I vow to be your biggest fan. And your best friend. No matter what life throws our way. I resolve to build our lives. And our family. On the firm foundation of faith, in God, and His Word, And I wholeheartedly, pledge my love, and my life, to you. Till death do us part, I love you. And if you want, you can kiss your spouse. That's okay. She's your spouse. Amen. I love you, sweetheart. You may be seated. I want to say thank you. I think it's important for us to take moments like that and renew. If you would like, that is written out for you. It's our renewal covenant. You can pick that up today. It's here for you. And then even signed, if you want to sign it and frame it as a reminder. Sometimes we need reminders. That's why we wear rings or some other thing that helps remind us. I know some today, though, are widowed. I know others are still single. I know some, your spouses are not here today. But I'm going to ask everyone else, even our young folks, everybody else, please stand if you're not with your spouse today or you didn't already make a renewal covenant. It doesn't mean... I'm looking around, a lot of your spouses aren't here today, but I'm going to ask you, I want you to make a heart covenant with me today, and I'm going to put it on the screen, and we're just going to read it together as we walk through it, as we make a heart covenant for our lives, amen? How many believe we need to keep our hearts right? We do. Ready? Start with this. May God grant me the grace to live an excellent life before Him. I will always acknowledge the Lord and remember that He knows the plans He has for me, plans to give me a hope and a future. Faithfully, I will use my life and service to Jesus Christ, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. I will learn to let my heart be content in all situations and resist the urge to rely on my own understanding. But instead, I will acknowledge God in all my ways. I will cultivate my heart and my soul to delight in the Lord as His Spirit works to conform my desires to His. I will always praise Jesus for His love and grace extended to me. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. I also have that covenant out there as well. So after service, if you would like those, they're just good confessions of faith and covenants as we say, you know what, God, I want you to work in my life. For the husbands and wives, it's based on God and His Word is how we're going to get through it. I was talking to Emily just before in the balcony, before I was up there for a moment, came down, and the Bible talks about marriage is honorable, but it's also a challenge. Just don't let the challenge rise above the honor. You keep the honor first. Amen? Amen. This morning, you know, we celebrate things, we do things, but one of the things that I never have the great joy of doing this, but we have one of our own go to heaven this week. In fact, yesterday morning about 9 o'clock, Greg Collins, they were up in the balcony, if not been with us because he's been battling cancer for the last year. And anyway, but he went to be with the Lord yesterday. And, you know, it always saddens me for the moment because I have to grieve for those I won't see again here. But there's another flip side of it. I rejoice because they no longer have the struggles and the challenges of what we face here. And so we will see them on the other side. And an illustration my brother used one time at a funeral was, it's this moment of, it's standing on a pier, and it's like they've gotten on a boat, and we're waving goodbye to them because they're sailing off. What we don't see is the other side of the boat coming in the dock in heaven, and the cheers, and all of that happening on the other side. And so I just want you to know, what we feel here, there is another side to that, that God is excited to have his children home. And this morning, we have a ministry called Grief Share. And I want to run a video for you just to remind you of the care that we want to walk with you. And this will be kicking up real soon. So take a moment and look at this video.
My name is Denny Beisch, and my wife passed away in April of 2019. And then I saw the video in church, and I thought to myself, well, I really don't need this because I've got a large family, and they've all surrounded me during this difficult time. But then I met Barb and Dan out in the foyer, and they had the literature out there, and you know, I thought to myself, that's just pride keeping me from joining this group. So I joined, and it was a good thing. I learned a lot of things. I think that maybe my testimony helped some people there, but theirs also helped me. One thing in particular that they brought up, which was very good for me, is sometimes we grieve before that person passes. And I thought about that myself, and that was right there with me, because yes, I had 10 years in which I was grieving over different things. And I really encourage you, if you've had a loss in your family, but you think you're doing fine, you might wanna just try Grief Share, because if not it helping you, which it will, you might help someone else. Because we always have those little key moments when something triggers that grief, and the program helps you to deal with those things, to get past, to move forward, because we realize, or they realize, that people get stuck, and the program will help you to get unstuck and move forward.
We are just finishing up one class, and this is to launch a new one, because as he said, there, grief is a real thing, but a lot of people don't know what they're walking through, and this helps you define those things. So if you've lost a loved one, family of any sort, or even a close friend, consider Grief Share. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Peter. We're looking today at verses 17 through 21. Title is Reverent Fear today. When we read scripture, I want you to be careful not to jump ahead too much in your thoughts. Let me walk through, because some of the things that we're going to read today, at least in the first part of this passage, kind of can be a little bit like, whoa, what are we talking about? And that's why we're here today, to talk about that. Peter is telling us basically that we've got to live our lives as strangers, or the term you'll hear today is temporary residents. But we got to do it in reverent fear for God. The passage, Peter is saying, really, we got to have this healthy fear. And I'm going to describe that word for us, because there is a coming judgment. Okay, so let's look at 1 Peter 1:17. We'll just start there. And remember that the Heavenly Father, to whom you pray, has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that as we walk through it, as I teach today, Lord, that you would help our hearts to hear and yet also be enthused about our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about living a holy life. That's what Peter is saying. We're excited about heaven, looking to heaven. And while we're excited, we're going to live this holy life. Because God is holy, we ought to be holy. Amen. That's the truth. With that thought, we should want to live our lives now to honor the Lord. And we used the word last week, therefore, right? We let the word of God begin to transform the way we think or the way we act in this world. And we need to be careful also to not let the things of this world influence us and turn us away from our commitment to the Lord. Now in verse 17, Peter adds a thought to the thought last week, because he says, and he talks about us being temporary residents on this earth, and he says, we should also live with this reverent fear of the Lord. He says it especially in light of the judgment that is coming one day. Now, we have a wonderful privilege as believers, because as believers, we've embraced the forgiveness that is ours through the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, not works. Amen. But that privilege also carries a great responsibility. Peter says we're to live in reverent fear. The Greek word for fear here is, the Greek word is phobos. It's where we get our English word phobia. So most of you are familiar with phobia. But in the Greek, it's used in two different ways. One way is probably the way you tend to think first. Fear as in afraid of, or you dread something. I'm afraid of doing that. The second use in Scripture of this exact same word is to have reverence or respect for authority. It's this awesome fear of respect of authority. I believe that's exactly how 1 Peter is using it. It's bent that way in the use of its definition. Because we've got to take the whole counsel of God's word into account. Amen? We don't have to be afraid of God in the sense of fearful of him. In the Old Testament, listen to what God told the people, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So God's for us and not against us. I mean, if he's saying I'm going to help you, I'll be with you, why would we ever be afraid of him? And he's the one who says, do not be afraid. In the New Testament, 1 John 4:18, we read this. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So this is that fear of being afraid, of being scared. But God says, and he is love, and it casts out that fear, because that fear has to do with punishment. But we know that God loves us, and we don't have to be afraid of punishment because he's given us grace. Amen? You got to get this, got to get a good understanding of this. In fact, listen to Jesus' words in Luke 12, 31 and 32. Now, Jesus, if you remember, in this passage, he was talking about how the Father will take care of us. He watches over the birds of the air. If he's doing all that, he says in verse 31, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. So church, I'm excited about what God wants to give us. I'm not afraid of that. So church, I do live my life in respect and in reverence and awe of who God is. Amen? While I'm also living mindful that someday we as believers in Christ will also stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is something really should motivate us to do the right things and live the right way while we're here on earth. Now, there's a couple of judgments. There's the great white throne judgment. That's the final judgment. But there is a judgment. Now, let me read about it a little bit. But of the called the judgment seat of Christ. Peter is trying to remind us of that, but in hopes that it spurs us all, not pushes you away. In fact, Paul speaks of it in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 to 10. I just want to back up, God. I want you to make sure you hear context, okay? For we walk by faith, not by sight, right? We're saved by faith, okay? That's that whole thing he's trying to help us understand. And then he says, yes, we are of good courage. Everybody say, I am of good courage. You should be. He says, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. How many are looking to get on that boat, wave goodbye here, but have an applause when you enter the port of heaven? We've got to be looking and thinking that way and living that way. Verse 9, so whether we are at home, he's talking about in the body, or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Many want to know, what's this judgment about? I mean, the Bible, what is it really trying to say? Well, I believe it really indicates a couple of areas that we're going to be evaluated in. What is this? God will examine us to see if the profession of our mouth matched our living. That's one of the bottom lines of this. And I know it sounds a little alarming, but according to Jesus, there is going to be a judgment one day that will come, and it's going to challenge those who may have really thought they were living for the Lord, while in reality, they may have had wrong motives along the way. I want you to hear what Jesus says in Matthew 7 this morning in verses 21 to 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one, this is so important, listen carefully, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Listen to what he says in verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? In your name perform many miracles? Verse 23 says, and I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Don't you love Scripture? You need to understand, God is always going to be faithful to his word and his promises, and to the name of Jesus, and to the people who are walking in faith. But remember, God does not have favorites. There'll be some people, you need to understand, they will use the name of Jesus, but their hearts are doing it for the wrong reason. And Jesus knows that. And Jesus will always be faithful to those who respond to his word, no matter who shares that word. We do not become, understand this, we don't become part of God's family because we said a prayer, walked down an aisle, or raised our hand. In fact, we become part of God's family when we truly repent and follow Jesus as Lord of our lives. In fact, Romans 10, 9 and 10, we confess with our mouth what? Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that he died and rose again. But that's what saves us. Listen, what we do and why we do it will one day be revealed. And only God knows the true nature of your heart and my heart. And I know, though, he is just in all his ways. In fact, understand, God will, again, let me just say it again, God will examine us to see if the profession of our mouth matched our living. That's one examination. Another one is this. God will examine how faithfully we served him. Again, I want you to listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. It's a longer passage, but I need you to stay with me because I need scripture to speak to this today. In verse 10 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it." Talking about the faith that we have, the church. "But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we've already have, Jesus Christ." Church, there's no other foundation. Others have come along and have used his name to rebuild a whole other religion. That's what they've done. We have to go back to the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Verse 12, "Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved," understand that, "but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames." The what and the why of the things that we've done for the kingdom of God are going to be quality tested. And one day, if it's of poor quality, because it was done in a half-hearted way, maybe done for the wrong reasons, like looking for the praise of people, the Bible says that's going to be burned up. But the Bible also tells us if it is not burned up, there are rewards for faithful service for those who went through the test of the fire. I don't know if you remember the story of the talents that Jesus told. There were some that were given more talents and less talents, but there were some that were more faithful with what they were given, and by the way, they were given more. That's a God principle. It's what you do with what you have. God will reward those who are faithful. And remember, God is just. He's righteous. Deuteronomy 32:4. I just want to make sure. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. I know we live in a world where justice seems to be inconsistent. Where you're seeing it in our political realm. You're watching it on TV. I don't think anybody knows the truth. It's just, where does it really all fall out? But the judgment of God, you need to understand, is impartial, but it also is based on the clarity and complete understanding of your heart because God knows your heart. In other words, God will know things like this. He will know when our words did not match our deeds. He'll know when the excuse that we didn't know it was wrong was actually false. On the other side, he also knows when we were falsely accused or taken advantage of by others. He knows that. Or when we were trying to do something good, we had the right motive and heart, but it turned out bad. God fully understands all of that. That is why the coming judgment is there to remind us to live responsibly rather than recklessly. That's why we need to live with reverent fear, to honor the Lord in everything we do. I want to make sure I'm also not doing it because I want a reward when I get to heaven. I'm doing it just to honor his name because he loved me. We have to remember, I'm just a temporary resident here. I am a child of God. And with that thought in mind, let me move to the next scripture because we need to remind ourselves we've been redeemed with a great price. And our Redeemer has an incredible eternal future for you and I. 1 Peter, he goes on in verse 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Church, the reason I want to live reverently for him in that reverent fear is because I'll never forget the sacrifice he made for me. We have to remember the cost that Jesus paid for us, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He gave his life for us so we could be forgiven and have an eternity with him. Why would I ever want to treat that privilege lightly or even think about trading it away for a few temporary pleasurable moments that might be in this world? The point is this: if we will continue to remember the nail-scarred hands and feet of Jesus, that's why I have no problem. Some people are struggling to put the cross in a building now because it offends people. I pray it offends you. It's the only way. It is our reminder of what he did and the price he paid for you and me, so I want to love him. If we'll remember what he did and remember the love he demonstrated for us while we were still sinners, it will help us keep our focus and our respect and our reverence for Jesus and the plan that he has for your life and my life for eternity. Church, you are part of a bigger plan than just the years you live here. Listen to Peter as he goes on in verse 20. He says, God chose him, speaking of Jesus, as your ransom. Now, you have to understand, I did not get into the teaching of the redeemed ransom, but when you go buy something off the shelf, you redeemed it. You own it, and it goes to your home. That's what God wants. He is a ransom. And he did it long before, he says, the world began. But now in these last days, he, speaking of Jesus, has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. And you've placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. Peter really wants you to see the big picture. I know a lot of times in church we can get locked into God wants to save you and redeem you and forgive you and heal you and deliver you, and all of that's good for the years you might have here, but his plan isn't just about here. The big plan is much bigger than that. The Bible says that we were chosen even before the world was made. Christ was chosen to be the Savior. Understand, God wasn't surprised by sin. Oh my goodness, I can't believe they disobeyed me. God, I can't tell you why God gave us the freedom to choose life or to rebel, but he did. Perhaps it was so that we would see how desperately we really need him. You need to know the cross was not a backup plan. You and I are part of God's eternal plan. And we can put our hope in God's plan. If you'll just let this sink in, we're not just moving forward without purpose or meaning in this world. We are part of the eternal plan of God. I know you're going, what am I going to do in heaven for the rest of my life? Well, after a few millenniums of worshiping Him. But I think if God's got everything He's got here, God has got so much in the future. That we cannot even dream or imagine what it's going to be like. You and I are not just simply cosmic accidents. We were fashioned by the maker of everything in the womb of our moms. And now, because of faith, we belong to something bigger than our own little world. Believe it or not, you carry a greater significance than anything you can imagine. Let me take you back for a moment to the husbands and wives standing there, eye to eye today. If I can remind you what a blessing you can be to one another. God has a plan, but unless you link your lives together and say, this is the way we're going to walk it out, it will not have the fulfillment that God desires for you. God's got so much. In fact, Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, the purposes of a person's hearts are deep waters. I don't know what you've dreamed or what you've thought about, but it says, but one who has insight draws them out. Church, every one of us have been made into the image of God. We were all born with a purpose and a calling. We can discover it, or you can completely miss it. But God wants you to know Him and be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life is the one that can draw out, who gives insight to God's purposes and God's plan for your life so that you can fulfill that plan, not just now on earth, but walk it out for eternity. We don't go to heaven and we don't have the presence of God anymore. In fact, we will understand it more fully. Every day, we've got to choose between the empty promises of this world and the sure word of God. We have to choose between living for the moment or living for eternity. We have to choose between the world or the Savior. As I close today, I want to just speak to three different groups of people. The first group I want to speak to this morning is those who have never, ever trusted Christ. You've never, ever really made that commitment to make Him Lord of your life. You've heard message after message, maybe. You know there's something pulling at your spirit. And one of two things are going on in your life. First of all, you just do not want to surrender to Christ. Or you think possibly He can never forgive you for what you've done. I'm aware that sin is pleasurable or it would not be tempting. But I have to ask a question today. Where is your life heading? If you continue to live the way you're living right now for the rest of your life, where will you end up? Now, you might end up with a bunch of wild stories about the fun you had. But then what? What about the judgment? What about being held accountable for the way you live? And know this, at the final great white throne judgment, you will not be able to charm your way out of the consequences of that judgment. So I encourage you, change the direction of your life today. Know that Jesus died for you. He demonstrated His love, His power, His forgiveness, and His greatness for you. And He invites you to be a part of eternity. In fact, Psalm 16:11 reminds us, you make known to me the path of life. He's done that. He says, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. But what you have to do is admit that you are a sinner and then ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. Believe He died and rose again, and ask Him and confess Him to be Lord. I'm asking you today to embrace the one who's loved you from before the beginning of the creation of the world. Today you can experience his forgiveness, his new life, his equipping power of the Holy Spirit. I say choose Jesus today. The second group I want to speak to are those who have professed faith, and you know faith, but you're not really walking in it. You might have been making great claims about your life, and you might have even convinced others. But the judgment of God is one that will really matter. Maybe you've played church for a while, but not really walking with Jesus clearly every day. I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to convict your life today and be willing to say, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life every day. I know so many people that want to walk this walk with Christ, but it's in and out, in and out. I'm saying, why don't you get all in? Let's go all in for God. We either believe it or we don't. And to the third group this morning, maybe you really are living as a temporary resident here, and you know that. And you're really longing for your eternal home. To you, I have a very simple message. Don't give up. Do not give up. The world may ridicule you for your faith, but would you stay true to God who is watching over your life? You might be excluded from things in this world, but you need to remember you're a child of God. This world is not your home. So keep your reverent fear of the Lord. Serve him and live a Jesus-filled life. Would you bow your heads for a moment? This morning, there may be those in this place, and I don't know your heart, only God does, but you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. You've never really done that. Others may think you have, but only you know. Maybe you've played the game of being in and out of serving him, and today I'm asking, would you really dedicate or rededicate your life to the Lord and say, man, God, I really want to live this out because I'm going to have a reverent fear for who you are. And for those who have been serving the Lord, don't give up. Keep doing it. But if you're in one of those first two categories today, would you just lift your hand up and say, I need to commit my life to the Lord today. I need to surrender. Maybe you're online and you know what's going on. Yes, I see that. Is there anyone else? Yep, thank you. You can put your hands down. I just want us to pray together and make a confession of faith to the Lord. And I'm going to ask everybody just to pray with me. Would you say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Today, by faith, I ask you to be Lord of my life. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose again. And I'm asking you to fill me with new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Guide my steps every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I celebrate with you. Now listen, let's keep walking this out together. We can do this. You know what? I would encourage you. Let someone know. You know what? I've rededicated. I've resettled it today. Because we need each other. Husbands, you need your wife. Wife, you need your husband. Children, you need your parents. Parents, whether you know it or not, you need those kids. They teach us, they train us, they remind us. And God has given us not only our biological, natural families here on earth, but he's given us the family of God. Let's work together. Let's spur one another on to love and good deeds. And don't worry about living a fake life. Let's live a real life. There are ups and downs and days. In fact, I walk in the office every once in a while. It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while I'm like, guys, I just need to let you know I'm kind of in this, I don't know, you know, where I'm at. But I know I'm not on that high, and I'm just honest about it. I don't have to walk in and fool anybody and try. I walk where I walk every day, but I'm letting Jesus be Lord. And one of them might speak a word that just, that's it. That's what I needed today. But if you play a game and you're always hiding that, then no one can ever help you. So church, let's live in reverent fear. We have an authority over our lives that I want to honor. Why? Because he loves me with an everlasting love. And I am all in. When you said, I do to your spouse, you were saying, I'm all in. Don't ever step out. Let's keep it going. Let's trust the Lord. And let's live this thing out. For those who are widows and widowers, you know what? May the Lord help you and bless you. And those who are single, I pray God bring you the right mate in the right time. Don't get ahead of God. God knows what he's doing. He has the plan, and the Holy Spirit will guide you step by step. Amen? So Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that we will recognize what an awesome price you paid for us and live in honor of that. So, Lord, have your way in our lives, we pray. Amen. God bless you, and have a Jesus-filled week.